Father, thank God, I just want to open up the prayer right now. Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all here together today. Lord God, just to worship you. As Josh and I were practicing at home today, Father, I was really thinking about, you know, why we do this. We don't just do it so we all sound good, but it's just we're worshiping the Lord. Father, I pray that you remind that and bring it to our minds, Lord God, that we're praising you right now. Lord God, and right now we're not supposed to be focusing on anything else, but just that beautiful name, Jesus. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you lead us, Lord, and you help us just to lay down everything right now, Lord God, and just focus on you. Help us to get out of the way, Father. Whatever we've gone through this week, Father, or all the things that we have to worry about for next week, Lord, and the anxiety or fear or hurt or anger or just all of that stuff, Lord, help us to lay it down right now and just focus on you and just have that chance just to hear your voice speak to us too. Father, you are higher than any other, and help us not to forget that, Father. Help us to truly put you above anyone else, Lord God. Help us to put your will above our own will, Father. Father, I want to love you more than my husband and my kids and this world and everything that it offers me, Father, because I know that when I have that perfect love, Lord, all of those other things are going to fall into place, Father. Some of us quickly and some of us slowly, Lord. You helped us die to those things that call to us, Father. I pray, Father, that we can keep dying to those, Lord God. We're no longer a slave to the world, Lord God, but we can be a slave to you, Lord, so we can have true freedom, Father.
Sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted. with all of her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away.
Do you guys feel like doing one more? We had one more planned, but we don't have to do it. It's okay.
Yes.
Okay. You guys don't have to stand. It's fine. Your holy name. Father, I thank you that you're rich in love and you're slow to anger, Lord. Especially, I'm thankful for that slow to anger, Father. And I pray that you help us all to be that way, too, Lord God. I find myself sometimes just flying off the handle and just getting angry pretty quickly, Lord. And that's not your fruit, Father. So I ask you to forgive me for that, Lord. And help me be an overcomer with that, Father. Father, I also want to lift up Diane's family to you right now, Lord God, that you just be with her parents, Lord, and give them comfort and speak to them, Father, and help her, Father, just to have that clear mind and hear your voice, Lord. And I pray for her strength also. And we also want to lift up Laura to you right now and her daughter, Father. We pray, Lord God, that we pray for your will to be done, Lord. We pray in the midst of that, Father, that Laura has complete love and peace and just everything, Lord. And I also do pray, Lord, for a miracle, Father. We know, Lord God, that you are the great physician. You're the healer, Lord, and we just pray for that, Father. And I pray for anyone else here right now, Lord God, that has any family members that are hurting, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord God, we lift them up to you, Father. And we pray, Father, that all we can pray for them, Father, is that they bend their knee and they look after you and they listen to you, Father. They look to you, Lord. We pray for Ashley right now, Lord God, and give her strength, Father. We pray for her mom, Lord, that even with her last breath, Father, she can call out your name. And I pray that at the end right now, Father, that she won't be in too much pain. And I pray, Lord, that you just lead us today, Father. Whatever you want from this day, Lord God, I pray that your will be done, Lord God, not ours, but yours, Father. Amen.
And to encourage you guys in the Lord. Okay, so thank you all for praying for just our family members. And when I say family, I mean folks in this body. You know, we're definitely not a perfect body, as you can see. No, we've got our issues, but you know, there's a lot of people here who love the Lord. And so it's a cool thing to have everybody praying for folks like Diane and her mom and folks like Laura and her daughter and their family and God will provide and all that. And I even want to share a little update with you from in Ashley's situation. And you'll know who she is now because now she has a cool name tag. What guy? And I really like this. It was a great idea. And so, anyway, just to encourage you, for those of you who don't know, we all prayed over Ashley. I can't remember if it was last Thursday or the Thursday before. Bunch of people, man, just prayed over her, and I want to encourage you just how the body works. And so, see if I can get the story right, and if not, Ashley can come up here and throw something at me and correct me. But so, for those of you who don't know, Ashley's mom is living in her last days. At any rate, and what we've seen recently with Ashley in her life, we saw was a lot of people from this body invest in Ashley. And she came to the youth group for years, and people ministered, you know, folks like, you know, Connie and Gloria and Tom and, you know, Lynn and Josh and Amanda Panda and just so many people, and Rebecca just ministering to her as a little sister, And over the last few years, you know, recently, the last maybe 6 months, you know, she's got saved. She's realized, man, I am not a believer. I'm just a churchgoer, and I want to get saved. And so she got saved. And so there's the reason why I'm telling you all this, because it's coming to a conclusion. And she just got baptized recently, which is the next step. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, publicly profess, man, I've decided to follow Jesus. I want to be baptized. And took that next step. It was so exciting, and a bunch of people gathered around her. And we've been trying to see Mom for some time, and Mom said, no, 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 no. And as she's been going through this for the last few years. And so now that God's done a real work in Ashley's heart, and Ashley's been sharing and witnessing, and even recently, coming to the last few weeks, hospice has been there. And it's still been pretty much a closed door. And what's happened is folks from this body just started ministering, you know, even more and more. And folks were going over there and cleaning the house, you know, just folks, you know, Connie and April and Rebecca and people going over there. And folks here have been bringing meals over there for them. And Connie, it was so cool. Connie had, you know, left some tracks, you know. Anyway, Mom started reading them. And her heart started getting softened. And then Ashley was witnessing to her, too. And Rebecca. And then April came over and just had to sit where Ashley went to work, and how it was so wonderful just to sit there for hours and hours so that Ashley could work and somebody would be with her mom to help with medication. And she just decided, even though it looked like she couldn't even understand, she decided to read the word to her and read from the Gospel of John. Instead of just reading and sitting there, I'm going to take this time and I hope it's okay to share this. You know, at the time, I felt kind of dumb. So I'm thinking, I don't even know if any of this is getting through. Read through John and read through Romans and just hours and hours pouring out the word. And what does God say about his word?
It won't come down.
Boy, it accomplished the purpose. So anyway, so then after that, she started softening a little bit, and then she started asking for tracks. We tried to go out there again and wouldn't let it happen. But we got her a bunch more tracks and she read them. And then finally she allowed Sister Susie to come in and just to sit with her. She saw some of those tracks and said, hey, notice you can read those tracks. And opened the door, and there was repentance and tears. And right before, and she was coherent. Even days when I was there, she wasn't coherent like the whole time. And God made her coherent, and there was repentance and tears. And she was led to the Lord, and she received Christ as her Lord and Savior. Praying for her on Sundays, praying for during the week when you got that text chain. And, you know, honestly, I thought, wow, Lord, it's so impossible, but nothing is impossible with you. Isn't God amazing? Is that awesome? But it's the whole body, people praying, people ministering for years to other people who then minister to other people. And then you just see that it's so exciting when the body works like that. I love it. So you praise the Lord that has happened. And honestly, even for the last few days, she hasn't been pretty much coherent, according to a friend, at all. And so it's almost like God opened up that window of time span so she could read those tracks, so she could hear the words, so that she could talk about the gospel and receive Christ. And I just love that. God is so faithful. Isn't that awesome? He saved a wretch like me. He can save anybody, right? Amen. Amen. We'll continue to pray for Ashley and the family. Okay. Trying to think if, Lord, help me just put my thoughts in order. You know they're scattered, and this whole service is yours. So just do with it whatever you choose, and I ask you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's see what we have on our handy-dandy PowerPoint here. And we'll see what we have. Okay, you guys know about the Panera bread. We got loaves of bread for you back there. If you want to take some, you are absolutely welcome to do so. Free in Jesus' name. Winter Jam, I know some of you guys went out there. I hope you had an awesome time. I know one of my sons was mad that he didn't go. And before I forget, Josh and Amanda Pander, are you guys here?
Josh.
Okay, Josh. Okay, would you do me a favor? Don't leave until I talk to you. And then Anthony and Natalie, don't leave. You guys aren't in trouble or anything. It's like, call to the principal's office. Also, you guys know a part of our deal is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so we give away stuff all the time. There's sermons online that you can go to. There's also other folks. You go to homefellowshipchurch.com. There's also other teachers if you go on resources that you can listen to. But if you missed any teachings, we have the Loner Library back there where there's Christian books and audio CDs and DVDs you can check out. All free in Jesus' name. We're also looking for somebody to, oh no, we got somebody to take that over. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for providing. Also, we have some books. I have one more of these. I got actually more on the way. Sometimes people, do we have a microphone anywhere? Okay, do you have it? Sometimes people get sick of hearing me. I was just Darren pushing a book or teaching. We hear them all the time. So, somebody who hasn't spoken about this book, Joel, are you here somewhere? Oh, hey. Joel, for those of you who don't know Joel and Heidi, Joel has been, Heidi, you've been a missionary for like 37 years. You've been a missionary, and which is just about as old as I am. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm a little older. Anyway, the point is, you just read this book, correct? Would you mind just sharing whatever you want to share? I just want somebody here other than me. It's Dreams and Visions. Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World?
It's an awesome book. I could already put it down. And the Lord really spoke to me through this book not to be afraid of Muslims. You know, we think that, oh, they're jihadis. But God is speaking to the Muslims through dreams. Dreams of Jesus. And Jesus is telling them that they need to go to a certain place and talk to a Christian pastor or somebody. And they become saved. They're saved. And this is something. And at the end of the book, the guy says, we as Christians need to be friendly to the Muslims. Don't be afraid of them. Be friendly to them. And in their friendship, maybe we can share the gospel to them or ask them, have you been having any dreams about Jesus?
Now, how strongly would you recommend this book?
I would recommend that everybody read it.
Well, I only have one today, so I know. I wish I had more, but I only have one today. So I know we've given out a ton, so maybe that message is for you, that you've already taken the book and you haven't read it. But there's one left. If anybody wants one, I will give it to you. Anyone who has not taken the book yet and is willing to read it. Okay? If you want it, just raise your hand. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to set it right here, like I did with the other ones, and they'll disappear. Also, I have two more. Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. Excellent books, fictional book, but it represents picture spiritual warfare. One of the best books I've ever read on spiritual warfare. This should be required reading for every believer. Okay, so if anybody wants, I've got two left today. Does anybody want one of these? We've given away a zillion of them. Anybody want one? Okay. In Jesus' name. Amy and okay. Now somebody recently, even this morning, said, man, I didn't know what you're talking to me about that book, about spiritual warfare. I never had that happen before. I didn't even believe, but now I've been reading the book, and also something happened to me, and now I believe it. And so there is a battle that's going on all around us. So be aware. I'm not going to hand out that today. So anyway, this week, we've got prayer, don't forget, on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Also Tuesday, we're having men's Bible study and dinner. We're going through 2 Samuel. Gary? I saw him here. I know he's here. Gary, what is... anything you want to say?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about how to bring God's presence into our homes.
Okay, how to bring God's presence into our homes. Okay, so we meet for food at 6, Frisbee at 5:30, and then food again, Bible study at 6:30. So guys, if you've never come out, why don't you come out? Why don't you join us? It's not a scary thing. It's not a, Gary's not very scary. Well, I made it a little scary. Okay, and then Thursday night barbecue and Bible study. We'll be back in 1 Kings chapter 4. So if you haven't read, you can read chapters 1, 2, and 3 in 1 Kings. You'll be all caught up. So we have 6 p.m. We have food, wonderful dinner, and then we have fellowship and Bible study afterwards, Thursday nights. Okay. Also, we just want to, I'll save that. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that. Thank you for doing these tags. Please make sure you do it. Don't give them a hassle. If they want to put it on your kid or your dog or whatever, just let them do it.
Can we bring
our
pictures?
Yeah, no. Especially not you. But yes, it's a service, official service dog.
Official?
Official. But now listen, but these are actually very helpful to get to know one another, okay? So, I'm Darren. Also, we've got Bibles for Loving Hands. We talked about it last week, but $11 each. If you want to put a memo, a check, some money in there, an envelope, say Bibles for Loving Hands. We gave a bunch of Bibles to Loving Hands Ministry that helps addicts recover. And they're going to be coming out here to share in a couple months. But if you would like to do that, just put a memo in the check, however many Bibles you want to do, and we're going to save up, and we're going to buy some more Bibles and give it directly to them so they can continue ministering because they ran out. So we provided help for them. And before we get started on the teaching, I'm going to take a little bit of time. I'd like to invite my friend Laura up here. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And so I'm going to need the microphone, actually. Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to her. Thanks, Nate.
You got this. My name is Laura Keelman, and I am the office manager of North River Care Pregnancy Center. And since today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, we thought it would be a good opportunity to introduce you to our ministry. excuse me, we were started in 1998, and since then we have helped over 3,000 young girls and their families who are facing a crisis unplanned pregnancy. We are located in Palmetto. We have two offices there. And we help the girls in a multitude of ways. We love them, and we respect them, and we honor them as people. We help them see that no matter what their situation is, no matter how dire they think it is, that we will help them through it, whether they choose to have their babies or whether we help them place, working with an attorney in Bradenton. We also do adoptions. But whatever their circumstance is, we love them through it with kindness and Christian love. We help them with material goods. We help them with education to teach them how to parent. And they take classes with us, and after they take those classes, then they earn material goods. So if we do a class, for example, on safety, then they can get safety items, or if we do bathing, they can get a bathtub or things like that. All of the things, most of the things that we have to give out are donated, and so we're very blessed by our community. But a lot of people don't know that we even exist. So, but the biggest, most important thing that we strive to do is to bring them to Christ. If they don't have a relationship, we, through education and the way we talk to them and communicate with them, we try to bring them to Christ. Because that's the most important thing out of their whole situation. So people ask, well, how can we help? You know, a lot of things are donated. People... we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and what we get, most of it is donated. We make our money through fundraisers and pledges and some money from the state. But our biggest thing that we ask for is prayer. Because we are seeing a lot of desperate, hurting people from 11 years old. We've had two 11-year-old girls whose they came to us because both of them had someone they knew. One was a relative who was being initiated into a gang, and they needed to have sex with a virgin. And so this one young man knew a virgin, his cousin, and she became pregnant. So both of those babies have passed away, actually. And so we see people from 11 to almost 40. We have people who are, we have one little girl now, well, she's not so little, she's older now, she's 17. And she slept on those things in a pool, the little rafts that you are on. And she went through her pregnancy on the floor, sleeping on that with her child that she already had. And so she's coming to us now with something new that we've started as well. A lot of times when ladies find out that they're pregnant, they're very often still in high school. And so they stop going to school, and which really puts a damper not only on their plans, but any future jobs that they may have. It really limits what they're going to be able to do to provide for their children. So we started about a year and a half ago. We started a GED program with the assistance of MTC and ELC, which is Early Learning Coalition in Palmetto. And the only requirement is that you are a parent or are going to be a parent for moms and for dads. And our first graduate was actually one of our dads, so we're very proud of that. But so we try and get the whole family involved if that's needed. We have graduated. We've been going about a year and a half. We've graduated 9, I believe it is. Is that right, Susie? Was it 9? 9, 11? We are also very blessed on Tuesdays. Susie comes, and a lady named Dawn Murphy, who is with Moms in Prayer. And what started out as a one-hour prayer session for us, for the staff, for the clients, for the students, we're usually there about 3 hours chit-chatting and praying. And so we do that every Tuesday. We're blessed by these women. They are actually even coming in a little earlier and doing a session with the students and sometimes the clients. So we're blessed by that. That has been a wonderful thing for the staff. We look forward to that. We don't have that on Tuesdays, and we're kind of lost the rest of the week. But we just wanted to let you know that we are around, and if we can help you in any way, we would be thrilled to do so. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
You said that you take donations.
Yes.
Is that only of things that are brand new, or do you take gently used items as well?
Oh, 99% of the things that we have are used, absolutely. And I have my card. I can give you it with the address and everything on it. So, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
How did I come to you?
That is an excellent question, because I didn't even know that we existed for a long time, and we've been there since 1990. 3,000 people, I missed the whole thing. Word of mouth. We also have contacts in the schools, and so we get a lot of people through the schools. The schools now have, which was amazing to me, they have programs for expectant parents in schools, and I was like, bro, I was just amazed that there is that. But we get a lot of referrals from them through Early Learning Coalition as well, and by mouth, of course. And we have repeat. We've had 3 different generations come to us. So where we also try to talk to them about better choices, certainly this is still being perpetuated throughout the generation. So that's a hard one. Pardon me?
They trusted you.
They trusted, yes. So we've had a grandma, a mom, and a daughter.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Are the programs for the fathers, to teach them to stay with the mother and
absolutely. We want the dads to be there, and so we very often they will come in and talk with us. Yes, and we encourage that tremendously.
Can you check veggie items also?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We sure do. Anything from diapers to cribs.
Gosh, and I see those on the screen.
Okay. Hey, Amy, come up here. And yeah, I was going to have you pray over Laura and then over ministry. If anybody would like to donate, you know, Laura, maybe you could also, if you want to bring something, some brochures or something like that to hand out. I think even just to have it on hand, even if it's a gift to somebody else, maybe a friend that they know,
absolutely.
And they can call you or take them directly to you and you receive open arms.
And we are non-judgmental. We don't have to judge anybody because that allows them to judge us. And that would take way too long.
I'm sure we should be a favor. Just pray for this, for her and this ministry.
Well, Father, I first just want to thank you, Lord, that this ministry does exist out there, Lord God. And I pray that for any of us listening, Lord, if you've put anything in our hearts just for them, Lord God, praying is the number one best thing that we can do, Lord God. If you've put it on any of our hearts, Lord God, to do the number two thing, Lord God, and just have it in our hearts to donate to, Lord God, I pray that you speak to us individually, Lord, but I pray right now, Lord, just for Laura and for her strength, Lord, and for all of the workers there, Lord God, I pray that you just pour an extra blessing just on that building right now, Lord, and just, I know this has to be a very difficult ministry, Lord God, not only with having to hear these stories, Lord God, but having to teach these women, these young girls, and these even children, Lord God, and that haven't been taught anything, Father, so I pray, Lord God, that, whoever is coming, Lord, that when once they walk through that door, Lord, the supernatural just feeling of just love and family and just even an understanding could just wash over them, Lord. And I pray that they do feel that there's no judgment there, Lord. And I pray for these fathers too, Lord God, that everything you're teaching them, Lord, that whoever's in the program right now, Lord, I just pray that you really speak to them, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for this education that the clinic is also giving these people to, Lord. But I just pray your blessing on this ministry, Father. And I pray that, I don't know. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. God bless you, sister. Okay, now if anybody wants to stretch, I know that took a little bit more time, but wasn't that worth it?
Yes.
Amen. So you can stretch, you can do the cha-cha for a minute. Whatever you want, do the running man. No, just whatever you want. Stretch your arms and let's get into the Word, shall we? Let's get into the book of Romans. Might have heard of it? Okay, so we are in Romans. Okay, I said last week that I really wanted to get into Romans chapter 12, and then so... And somebody said, I couldn't wait, and then somebody said at the end of the service, Pastor Darren said, but you didn't quite finish Romans 11. That's what? And they were right. So we're at the end of Romans chapter 11. Yes, Elijah, child of the king, yes. Yes. It was actually called the Book of Romans because they were writing that letter to the church in Rome, and so that's why they called it. Like Ephesians, they write it to the church in Ephesus. So back in Romans chapter 9, we saw God's sovereignty all throughout chapter 9 through chapter 10. We saw that also man's responsibility, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We saw in chapter 11, has God rejected his people, Israel? You know, and the answer was no way. And then we ended up, I'm going to speed through all this stuff. I'm going to open my Bible in just a second. This is all from 11, if you missed it. You can miss it without lying. I think we left off right around here on the olive tree, so give me a second to open up my Bible. Thank you, brother. And get there yourself, and then we'll see what the Lord has. And for my wife, you could get that tape. That would be super.
Again.
Okay, so I think we left off at the very end where he was talking about engrafted branches and he was talking about bringing Israel back and bringing the Jews back. And I think we were in verse 25. is, and so we just finish up these few verses, and then maybe we'll get into a little bit of 12. Okay, so why don't we do this? Why don't I have somebody read from verse, let's say, 25 to 32? Does anybody want to do that? Need a good reader? Okay, want to go? Okay. Yes, verse 25 of Romans chapter 11, all the way down to 32, and then we will go through verse by verse. All right?
I
do not want to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in the part of the full number of the Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn from godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God and have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all.
Okay, thank you. So back in 25, you know, it's my little setter says all Israel will be saved, and now he's talking to us. He goes, Paul's writing. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. And that mystery doesn't mean like a puzzle. It means like something that was previously hidden that's now revealed. I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother. So he's writing to believers, to Gentile believers, so that you may not be conceited. He's talking about us being stuck up, like God's not going to save the Jews anymore, or whatever, or he's done with Israel. He says Israel, speaking of Israel nationally, has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles. Now, their hearts have been hard, and it says, but there's a time for it. It says that in part until the full number of the Gentiles. Now, there's a lot of untils in the Bible. God has set times and seasons for things that that he knows way more than we do. You know, Psalm 110:1 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool. Oh, sorry. Okay, you can tell I'm excited to get to the school. But anyway, he also says in Luke chapter 21:24, for example, speaking of Jerusalem, it says they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And in this particular verse, you know, speaking of the times, some people believe that to be, 1947 when Israel became a nation again. Or some in 68, I think it was, when Jerusalem was taken back by the Israeli people. But here, in context, it's saying until the full number of the Gentiles come in. Basically, what that means is when we're leading people to the Lord, when people are given their lives over to Christ, there's a time, there's a fullness, that there's a full number of Gentiles when they comes in, that this is going to happen, that God's going to do something really amazing, unique with Israel. And when we think about that, you know, even as you're witnessing to somebody, you know, I don't know exactly what it is. Some people always, you know, some teachers, well, it's this and it's that. And it doesn't say exactly what it is. It says until the full number of Gentiles has come in. So whatever that number is, maybe God has a set number. You know, maybe God has a set time where he knows this is the last, or maybe it's the last person. So when you're witnessing to someone and they're accepting Christ, you can be like, hey, maybe this is the one. Or maybe you're here today, or it's somebody in Indonesia that's going to give their heart to the Lord. Whatever that last person is, or maybe it's here, if you just give your life over to the Lord so we can get this show on the road and get out of here, that would be awesome. Give it up. But there's a final number, and when that happens, it says that all Israel will be saved, and it's talking about them nationally. Now, also, it doesn't mean like I don't know how to say this. When it says all Israel will be saved, I don't think that's talking, and I could be wrong, it might be every single Jewish person, but I don't think that's what it means. I think it's talking about all Israel will be saved, like them as a nation, like nationally, they'll be returning to Christ. That's what's going to happen. They're going to see the Messiah, Yeshua, HaMashiach, for who he is. They're going to see, they're going to look upon him, and they're going to realize what is going on, and as a nation, they're going to turn back to him. Now, just like people would say that, hey, you know, we were a Christian nation. I don't know if they'll say that much anymore, but they used to say America was a Christian nation, right? Now, that doesn't end when we were founded on biblical principles and religious freedom, but that doesn't mean that everybody in America is saved, right? So it's talking about nationally. And so then he goes on to say, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn the godless, he will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And I think back, like, they're gonna see the Lord when this happens. Like, I don't think I have it up here. Zechariah. Go to Zechariah chapter 12. Give me a second. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12. Yes, speaking to the Jews, right. It says in verse 10. I think it's it. Hold on a second. Yep, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Oh, that's awesome. Because it is by grace we're saved, right? Not by works, lest anyone should boast. And it says, they will look upon me. This is the Lord speaking. They will look upon me, the one they have pierced. Well, when have the Jews ever pierced Yahweh? When have the Jews ever pierced the Lord, the King of Kings? Jesus. Isn't that a total picture of Emmanuel, God with us, coming down? They're going to look upon the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping of Jerusalem will be great. So they're going to realize, oh my gosh, this is what we've done. We've rejected. We've hardened our hearts. And they're going to see him for who he is. And then back in Romans, it says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they're enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. And the patriarchs are the promises that God made. They're enemies. In other words, you know, if you remember the story of Paul, everywhere Paul went, every city, he would preach the gospel. And you know who was most upset by it? It was the Jews. And they would stone him and throw him in prison and cause riots. And this is what they do. And he's saying, hey, I want to be real. They're enemies. Okay? You know, I was talking to a Jewish guy yesterday, and I had my sweatshirt on that says, hey, this shirt is illegal in 45 countries, you know, from Voice of the Martyrs. Have you ever seen one? That will cross. Anyway, it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are appearing. Anything. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And he's a Jewish guy, and he's like, I like your shirt. I like your shirt. And I said, oh, good, man. I know him. I've been talking to him. And he's like, I want you to know something. I know you're a Christian, not a Jew, but that I know what that is, what that means. I said, you do, huh? He's like, yes, that's a slight. That's against the Muslims, right? Absolutely. Oh, I said, well, you know, he's like, I want to let you know, they're my enemy too. And walked away, and I thought, oh. And then I walked back to him, and I said, you know what? The neat thing is, though, about Yeshua, you know, Yeshua HaMashiach is that, you know, Jesus the Messiah, he's like that. He tells us that we're to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us. And people are coming to the Lord. they're coming to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. You know, and it's not exact, but that's, and he's like, and later on he came around to my table and he said, Darren, what exactly do you do? I told my team, I should have said more. You always think of all the cool things you could have said after. Anyway, so I'm going to hit him next week. Bless his ear, maybe.
That would be very good.
Well, not hit him, dude. Speak to him again. Anyway, so he's saying, hey, they're enemies. They're causing you strife. You know, but they're loved for election's sake. Listen, God's not done with them. He still loves them. And so, and it says, and this is a neat thing. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, I really want to get to that. Verse 29 does say something that's really awesome. And if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, can I ask you to do that? It's okay to do that. If God's speaking something to you, you can even highlight it. We're animals here. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says this, and depending on your translation, it says, for the gifts, that is, the word Greek there is charisma, it means gift or favor of divine grace received without merit. So God's gift, his divine favor, his grace, and his call are irrevocable. Now, he's speaking that, you know, because of the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you know what, guys? That also applies to us as Christians. His gifts and his call are irrevocable. Now, it doesn't mean that Israel isn't disciplined or that God hasn't taken away the blessings, right? He sure has for a long time, right? And the same thing with us. But I want to encourage you, because there's a lot of people here that sometimes think, I have strayed too far from the Lord. I have gotten too far away from God. You know what I'm saying? I have really screwed up. I have messed up. I'm a loser. I'm a lowlife. I'm a fool. I can't. That's kind of, you know, I've gone way too far. But remember that his gifts and his callings are irrevocable. Now, the King James uses a cool word here that I actually like better. Irrevocable is a good word. Let me think what it is. What does it say? Without
repentance.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't like it when I first read it, and then I started thinking about it more. I'm like, I like that. When I first read it in the King James, it says, God's gifts and callings are without repentance. I was like, so what does that mean? You don't need to have repentance to get the God's gifts and callings? That doesn't seem right. But what he's meaning is, it's irrevocable. It means without, his gifts and callings are without God changing his mind. That's what repentance means. In other words, when God gives you, when he calls you, if you stumbled, if you fallen, if you're feeling like, if you've been damaged in some way, if you think you're broken, you know, if you feel just so low you can't get back up again, if you feel like such a fool because of what you've done or what you've thought or what you've, I want you to remember that God's gifts and his calling is irrevocable, that it is without repentance, that he chose you, that he called you, that he loves you, and that doesn't change. It's not like he's thinking, Jim, well, I didn't know he was going to do that when I saved him. What an idiot. No, he doesn't think that way. He already knew, right? Think about that. He knows the mistakes I've made, or the mistakes Kim makes, or the mistakes Darren makes. I want you to think about that. All you have to do, right, if there's a besetting sin in your life, if there's a direction, if there's damage, if there's hurt, if there's whatever, you just need to turn around. It's so simple. God's gifts and calling are without repentance. I want you to think about this, because you hear what I'm saying, but you're not really taking it in. Do you remember a guy by the name of Samson? Yeah. Right? You remember his gift?
Drink.
God made him a judge, right? Got him here, right? Just tore up the enemies of Israel, and you know, he was a you know, God had gifts and callings, and he made them. And if you remember the dumb things he did, he took a Nazarite vow, so he's not supposed to get drunk, he's not supposed to touch dead bodies, he's not supposed to, you know, I don't want to say, how do I say this? Thank you. That's good. Fraternize with pagan women, right? And you remember what he did. He's getting drunk at Philistine parties, he's partying up, he's, he, you know, touching dead animals, eating honey, and he's hanging out with the honey. Remember Delilah? You remember her, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, he's like, Sammy, what's the secret of your strength? You have to tell me. Oh, just tie my hands up with leather straps, and I'll be weak as a, you know, whatever. Okay. Samson, the Philistines are here, and he breaks it, you know, and he defeats the enemies of God. Okay. So then, oh, say, you lied to me. Oh, yeah, I did. I know we shouldn't be seeing each other. But, okay, it's ropes. He had newly ropes. Okay, we tie up ropes. Samson, the Philistines are here. Breaks the ropes, you know, opens up a can of whoop butt. Defeats the enemies of God. Then, remember, oh, then he's like, wait, what, here's the deal. You got to braid my hair. Right? Wasn't that it or something like that? No, first it was braid, I think. And then, so then, braided it. And he got up, same thing, destroyed the loom. Hello, Samson, what are you thinking, right? But sometimes we're in sin, right? We are stupid. Sin makes you stupid. It hardens your heart and it blinds you, doesn't it? Now, here's the thing that I want you to catch with Sammy. So then, Sammy, you don't love me. You don't tell me the truth. Anyway. So you know the rest of the story. He finally gives in. He compromises. He tells the secret of strength. This is what God does. You cut my hair. She shaves his head. He's thinking, well, I got away with it with the drinking. I got away with the girls. I got away with it. I'm just going to be, it's just going to be another one of these things. You know, God's going to, and you remember he tried to break out and he couldn't. And they took him prisoner. And they gouged out his eyes. And they made him grind grain. They literally gouged out his eyes, which is what sin will do, little blinding. And they made him just grind. And that's what his life was, grinding. That's what your life will be in sin. You'll just be grinding away for your whole life. And you'll hate it. And you remember the story. They brought him eventually into Dagon's, like the Philistines' god, to show him off, to say our God's better than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And Yahweh, and they brought him in. And you remember what Samson did? What did he do? Do you remember? He brought the house down, so to speak. He prayed. He asked God, Lord, will you forgive me? He's like, I've been a fool. You know, will you just give me that strength? Will you bring it back one more time? And for those of you who remember, brought the house down. 3,000 people of God's enemies were destroyed because he turned. Yes,
do you think Samson probably went to heaven, or?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do think he went to heaven. But so maybe if you're caught in sin, God's saying his gifts and his callings, come back, turn around, stop it, soften your heart with oil. Think about you guys remember Joe? Not that Joe. Jonah. Remember? He just flat out rebelled against God, right? Yeah. God sent him somewhere. He's like, I'm not going to do it. Nope, no how, no way. He spent, tried to jump on a ship. He had a calling from the Lord. Tried to go the opposite direction. You know, God worked it out, so he had to spend some time in the belly of the whale, or a big fish, actually. And he finally repented there. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And what happened? The fish regurgitated him up right where he's supposed to be. The whale was moving the whole time. God was moving, right? It's just when he finally broke and he repented, I'm sorry, Lord. Spit him right up where he needed to be, and he was back in business. Still had a poopy attitude, but he did do what God asked him to do, right? And think about Peter. Maybe you've been lazy, or you've been a chicken. Rooster, chicken, whatever. I was trying to make a little joke there, but it didn't work out. Anyway, you remember the story, right? Peter, okay, he was kind of with... when they took Jesus, finally, he was warming himself at the enemy's fire, right? And big, brave Peter, I'll go with you wherever you want. I'll die for you, Jesus, Peter says, the big fisherman. And then when it comes right down to it, little teenage girl's like, hey, yeah, I remember you. But no, you don't. That's another Peter. He's like, no, I recognize the voice. You're from Galilee, right? You know him, don't you? I don't know the guy. And that little teenager's like, wait a minute. I know. I remember. No, it's not me. It's my cousin Harry. Harry, you know, whatever. You know, no, you're that guy. He actually called down curses. I don't know the blankety blank man. Who is this Jesus? I don't blank. And maybe he got scared. He got chicken and he ran away. Remember that? He even called down curses. And then he went back to fishing. Remember that story? He went back to fishing because that's what he knew. And maybe some of you have screwed up and you've made mistakes and you're going back to what you used to do and you're going back to TV or video games or, you know, the club or the friends that you shouldn't. And you're going back to these places. And that's not where you're supposed to be. And I love Jesus because he even met him there. Do you remember? He was fishing and somebody from the shore calls out, hey, Pete! So have you caught anything? And then a miracle happened. The fisherman said, no, I didn't catch nothing. Anyway, that's another good joke. But the fishermen never do that. Say that they never caught anything. Anyway, so, you know, Peter, nothing. He's watch put your net on the other side of the boat. You remember the story? Hauled in so many fish. They said, oh, it's the Lord! So he goes in there, and all that stuff he was trying to catch on his own, and he was not being successful, right? Jesus is there, already preparing the fish. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I'm so sorry. Feed my lambs. You know, just go ahead, feed my sheep. As soon as they were willing to repent and turn around, Jesus was right there. And so if that's you here today, you remember that his gifts and his callings are irrevocable. They're without repentance. You have not fallen too far that you cannot turn around. If he can forgive a knucklehead like Samson or Jonah or Peter or Darren, I guarantee he can forgive you completely. Isn't that awesome? That's the God we serve.
And he wants to
do that.
Did any of the people go to him because that's what they figured they had to do? Did any of them go back to their old ways, I guess? They just, you know, went to God, I don't know, to make the moment better. But did they go backwards at all?
Okay, good. I'm not sure I do. If I understand you correctly, you know.
We'll sin sometimes, yes. And we'll, you know, somebody will say, I forgive you. But do they end up going backwards and say, go back to being with the wrong kind of women and stuff?
I think, in a sense, I
they're
think.
They're just doing what they think they're supposed to
do. Well, or what they. Maybe I think they're doing what they know they shouldn't be doing. Is that what you mean? Like.
I think she means, like, did they do it just to save their hide for the moment?
Thank you.
And then go back to... Go back to
Well, you know what? God...
That's not
true. Yeah, repent, right. God knows your heart.
He won't be.
So, you know, he knows your heart, and he knows when you're coming to him in sincerity and when you're coming to him with lip service.
Right.
You might be able to lie to me.
Yeah.
You may be able to put the show on, you know what I mean? The act... with me or with your friend, but you can't do it with the Lord. He knows every word, it says in Psalm 139, before a word is on your tongue, he knows it already because he formed you. And so I think that would be the key, that repentance must be sincere. Yes?
Yeah, I think what she was talking about, a lot of people get annoyed with the system because they don't understand it. They think, oh, okay, so someone's out murdering people their whole lives and on their deathbed. They're like, oh, yes, I accept Jesus into my heart. I'm sorry for everything I did. I go to heaven, right? Like, and that annoys people because they're like, well, that's not right. These are just awful things. So, yes, that is correct. It's just the truth of the repentance. Because there's not repentance. God's not like, well, he said the words. I guess I have to let him in.
That's right.
You know, it's all about the heart.
And it is all about the heart. In fact, there's a word in 1 John that's coming to me. Ah, that's so cool. Actually, that was a great question that you asked. because the Lord gave me a verse this morning. I thought, oh, that doesn't go with anything. Why did you give me that verse? But now, I think maybe it does. It's in 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to read this in the translation, but I'm going to tell you the heart that he's trying to say. It says that, yes, 1 John chapter 3, let's see, verse 6, and then I'm going to start in verse 9. And it says, now don't panic when you first hear it. It says, no one who lives in him, in Christ, keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And that means the heart of it, it means living a lifestyle of sin. Okay? And it says in verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Living a lifestyle of sin is what that means. Because God's seed remains in him, he cannot go on sinning, living a lifestyle of sin, because he has been born of God. And this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does what is right, who does not do what is right, is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love their brother. So, you know, God knows the heart, and if there's sincerity, there'll be fruit after that. So, that was a great question. That's a great question.
And even if there's not any after that, if they're done, God still knows the heart.
Yes, he does. And you know what? Honestly, if somebody's on their deathbed, let me tell you, I'd be thinking about it. I'd be thinking, well, maybe this whole thing is, wow. I'd be certainly searching it a lot more.
If they're not going to trick God with the whole, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Of course not. No,
this game's punishment.
Of course not.
God's going to.
That wouldn't be a genuine heart of repentance, right? So anyway, back to Romans. God. You've got to get your least person to do it. It says, verse 30, just as you were at one time disobedient to God and now have received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too now become disobedient in order that they too may receive mercy as a result of God's mercy. Listen, you guys were disobedient at one time before you came to the Lord, and you know what? So was Israel. So were the Jews as well. And then it goes on to say, for God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Now, I don't like the way my translation says it, because it almost sounds like God's like, I'm just going to lock them all in prison so I can show them mercy. The ESV says it a little bit better. If you have an ESV version, it says it better. The Living Bible says it this way. For God has given them all up, for all over to sin, so that he could have mercy on them all. In other words, okay, you want to go that way? You can go. I'm going to still have that mercy for you whenever you're ready to return. And then he just kind of bursts out in praise. It says doxology. And that just means speaking words of praise. It's two words. Doxa means praise. And logos is speaking or the word. So he's just speaking praise. And he just says these things. Verse 33 to like 36. Just starts praising. I'm thinking of God's sovereignty. I'm thinking of his responsibility. I'm thinking of his faithfulness. His gifts and his calling is irrevocable. I think of his love. I think of no, all these things. He just bursts out in praise. And if anyone has the microphone anywhere around him, if you could read that, verse 33 to 36, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now in Romans 12, I want you to take a minute and I want you to read the first two verses, okay? Just read two verses to yourself. Pray and ask the Lord to speak something to you. I just read it to yourself. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Everybody has a guide. Read Romans chapter 12. love this verse or these verses. And this visual illustration might go over some of your heads, but some who are young like me knows what a transformer is, right? Raise your hand if you know what a transformer is. All right, good kids. Yes, thank you. Transformers, more than meets the eye. You know, and yes, I even put that in there because I was thinking about that. You know, so too, you as a born-again believer have the power of God living in you. You are to be more than meets the eye. In other words, like I was thinking about this. This is a picture of one of my faves. This is Bumblebee, for those of you who are not cool and don't know. There's Bumblebee. Now, he looks like an average Chevy
Camaro
car, right? And you would see on the highway, nothing special, just like, you know, most of, nothing special. However, what happens is, instead of conforming in with all the rest of the cars, he becomes transformed. Imagine the cartoons, that's what they do. That's the noise they make. So, and he turns into this big, bad, powerful, awesome machine, right? That can kick some serious butt. Okay, so too, you in the spiritual realm are like that vehicle. Your looks like everybody else, you know, well, most of us look like everybody else, talk like everybody else. And then, when they see the power, you being transformed into the image of Christ, when they see the power of Christ, you're not living the same way as the world. You're not choosing those same things. When they see something different, they say, wow. And you can kick some serious spiritual butt in the spiritual realm around you when you become transformed. And I say become transformed because you can't do it yourself. This is not a self-help book where you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Get going and become a good person. Because God loves you. You just have to think positive thoughts and everything will be good in your life. No! I say, I say, but that's absolutely not it. It's the power of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, being born again within you that allows you to live this transformed life. And it's you presenting yourselves on the altar of God that allows that to happen. It's kind of a hand-in-hand thing. Okay? Does that make sense? So Romans chapter 12 gets real practical now.
Love it, love it, love it.
And so he's given us all this stuff, and now he leads us to the practical stuff.
Yes.
And I don't even know where my clicker is. I've been like walking around. Okay. So ADD. Okay. We have a Bible study. Yes. Okay. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. In fact, somebody read it out loud by the microphone. Just read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Just verse 1 for me. Would somebody do that?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay. So here's what he starts off. Good. Thank you, Nate. So here's what he starts off. He's like, okay. It's almost like he's saying, well, whenever you see a therefore, you have to ask, what is it?
Therefore.
That's right. So he's thinking, it's almost like he's thinking all the way back. Okay. All those chapters of doctrine, right? The first 8 chapters, he's thinking all those things back, man. All 11 chapters, all 315 verses of this doctrine. Now, here's your responsibility, right? Here's where the rubber meets the road, huh? Transformer-esque, Autobot. Anyway, here's where the rubber meets the road in your Christian walk, right? This is where it happens. And he starts off with the therefore. There's a lot of great therefores. This is the fourth major therefore in Romans. The first one is the therefore of condemnation, where we realize we're all sinners before us. In Romans 3:20, he says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So, man, we become conscious. We become condemned by that law. And that's why we look to Jesus. Romans 5:1, we have the therefore of justification, where it says, therefore, since we have been justified, just as if I've never sinned, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes in to our hearts. We surrender our hearts and lives to Him. He comes in, and we are justified. Justified, never sin. And then the Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2, the therefore of assurance or freedom. I wasn't sure what to say. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. And now the therefore of dedication in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. The therefore of dedication. In other words, it's like saying, okay, therefore, since you see all this stuff that God has done, right? And all that He said in the past, right? Now, you, I'm showing you what you need to do. And again, it's always referring back. Like, I would never say to you, when I came in this morning, I said to some of you, good morning. Okay, you would answer, hey, good morning, PD. Good morning, Pastor Darren. Good morning. If I said to you, therefore, good morning, you'd be like, what is he saying? What is he referring to?
What did I say before that?
Did something happen? Yes, exactly. He's thinking about all those things. And he goes, therefore, I urge you, brothers. And so, did you hit that light for a second, Chris? My older eyes. And I love that word urge. It's parakaleo in the Greek. And it's from where we get, part of that word is where we get our word parallel. It's to come alongside. It's a relational word. And it's almost like Paul is saying, I demand you do this after you realize all that God's done. He's like, I'm urging you. I'm coming alongside you. And I'm saying, listen, guys. I'm begging you, as a dad, as a friend, as a brother. That's how he's approaching it. And I love how it says, I urge you. See, your God is personal. Like, listen, like all this, this is what he's writing to the Romans. And this is what he's writing to us personally. But God is so much more than that. He wants to speak to you, Olivia. Scott. He says, I'm urging you, Flo. I'm urging you, Darren. And I love that God does that through the Scripture. When you read His Word, don't just take it corporately. Take it as God, which He is, speaking directly to Anthony Letario. So God is urging you right now, and me. I love it. Like He'll say in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you. That's personal. I have loved you, Linda, with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Or even if He kind of has to correct us, He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. What do you think that means? In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. What does that mean? What do you think that means?
It's talked about His mercy back a few verses prior that you pointed out.
Yeah.
Where He's talking about, you can go back to 11 and look at it. So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you.
God's mercies are new every morning. He's so merciful. Some of you I look at, I think, I'm surprised you just had just kicked them out of the club. But then I look in the mirror and say, oh, Lord, I'm so surprised you haven't kicked me up. Do you know what I'm saying? No, not really. But it was a funny thing to say. Sorry. Did a Tom there. So, you know, it says, in view of God's mercy. You know, that could mean anything. Just all that we've gone through, justification from guilt, adoption by Jesus, placed under His grace, given the Holy Spirit to live within us, the promise of help and affliction, the forgiveness of sin, the empowerment to live a supernatural life, confidence of coming glory, confidence of no separation from His love, confidence in God and His continued faithfulness. I mean, that's incredible stuff. When I think of all those things, like when what God has done, that's going to cause me to want to respond, isn't it? Now, if you don't want to respond to that, then you don't understand His love, really. And it says to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. And that word offer, a better word, does any of your Bibles say present?
Yes.
I like that better. Some of your Bibles say yield or surrender. But if I were to give my wife a present and I say, here, honey, I got this for you. I would like to surrender this gift to you. She'd be like, surrender this gift? Yes, I just want to yield this gift over to you. Right? I'll offer it to you. It doesn't quite sound right. The better, probably better translation, there's joy with it. I want to present this to you. Like, man, in view of all you've done, I just want to present this gift of my body to you, Lord. My life to you. That's what he's saying. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
The word present versus offer to makes me think of something of value.
Yes.
Like you've kept away from sin. You're offering something worthwhile. Like when a wife, you know, has to keep themselves to themselves before getting married, and then they're presenting themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's something special.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And the word is peristamai, so it means more than, and offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Why does that make a big deal? Why your bodies?
It's the flesh.
It's the what?
It's the flesh. It's what the Lord calls the flesh. And that's what is constantly screaming in each one of us, 24/7, 365.
I want this, I want that, I want the other.
That's right.
And we have to... In my translation, it says, by the mercies of God.
Yeah.
I don't have the strength to present myself. But by His mercy in me, then that strength presents this flesh to Him.
Yeah. Well, I think also when you're saying I'm offering, you know, my whole body, it's kind of like, you're not saying, Lord, I'm just going to give you my mind and I'll think about you. I'm just going to give you my heart.
I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah, it's kind of like, but all of me to do your will. I'm just offering that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, this is what I get sometimes from Christians. They'll say this. Oh, this is usually when they're in sin. This is what they'll say. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart is deceitfully wicked because He's showing that by what you're doing with your body, right? Yeah. Listen, it says this. It says this in Philippians 1:20-21. This is Paul. He says, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where your beliefs turns into behavior, where you actually see it. That makes the difference. And he says, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Think about this scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 20. You know, it says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God could reside anywhere he wants in the entire universe, but he loves you so much, he wants to be not just with you, he wants to be in you. So it's not your body anymore. It's his. So, it says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. That means my eyes are his eyes. My ears are his ears. What am I listening to? What am I looking at? What am I thinking? My mind is his mind. Do you get what I'm saying? Therefore, honor God with what? Your body. And it's offering as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice, you know, dead animals on the altar. They burn it, and it would be totally consuming. But God wants you. You're a living sacrifice. He wants you to put yourself on that altar. I know my flesh wants to do this. Listen, I understand you want to sleep with so-and-so and not get married. I understand you want to just numb yourself out with the drugs. I understand you want to just lie a little bit so you don't get in trouble. I understand that you just want to gossip because you're flailing here. I understand all those things. We all do, don't we? But no, I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice to you, God. I'm presenting it to you because I want you to be honored with my life. Does it make sense? Isn't that reasonable after all that he's done for you? Well, listen up. Okay, so we're going to just get through one verse. I can realize that now. Okay. And it says, as living sacrifices, holy. Now, that doesn't mean like everybody has to wear ties in here and dresses to the knee, you know, down to your ankles. It just means set apart. That's what holy means. Set apart for God's use. Holy and pleasing. God wants you to live a holy life. If you wanted to look just like the world, that wouldn't please God. That's not set apart. Anybody can do that, right? Any knucklehead can do that. They have to see something different in you and how you live, how you speak. And it says, and this is one more time, I don't like this. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's actually a bad translation there. Because it makes it think of just like, it's just internal. Somebody else, some other translations say what I like is better. Reasonable.
Service.
Rational. The word in Greek is logikos. And that means logical. In view of everything that God's done, if you really understand it, this is just logical. This is reasonable. This is the least you can do for him, right? And that's what he's asking you to do, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's what he wants, and that's what he expects. And that's what the world needs to see around you. You know why they don't see it sometimes? Because you keep getting off that altar. All right, let me just say, so it's not a condemning thing. I keep getting off the altar. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
All right. I pushed you about as much as I can.
But
you're
not
entirely. Okay. On the altar, okay.
You're not
sacrificed. I'm sorry. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice and holy to death. In the Old Testament, for sin, what they would do is... they put burnt offerings, they would sacrifice a lamb that goes for forgiveness of sins, and that's what you would have to do continually. And now God is saying, and they put it on this little altar right here. I don't know if you can see it right there. It was the brazen altar, and they'd burn it, it'd be all consumed. It was like it's going to consume everything. So God is saying, in that same way, I want you to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Put yourself like on my altar to live for me, not a literal bronze altar.
Okay, so you're saying nowadays, because we don't really do altars and things,
yes.
That we start making poor choices that the world sees, and that's why we look like the world. And
that's exactly right. Because, in other words, it's almost like what's supposed to happen, and what happened in the Old Testament, you put that bull, that sheep, that lamb up there, and it would burn everything. You would sacrifice it, and it would burn everything, right?
You see God's power.
Yes, and it would all and everything would be consuming. That's what God wants. You to be a living sacrifice, all-consuming. You know, I don't want to see a Christian. It doesn't affect me. If I see a Christian with 25%, it like pushes me the other way. Right. Are 50% Christian? It makes me want to go the other thing. Listen, as an unbeliever, I'm just telling you. If you're out there getting drunk, if you're out there smoking pot, if you're over there sleeping with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, I'd look at you and you were professing Christian. I don't say this to condemn you. I'm just telling you the truth. I'd be like, yeah, see, they're talking about their Jesus, but they're living the same way I do. Don't tell me that.
Right. I'm looking down at you. Yeah, I call those part-time.
Right. So God, and then I don't say this, God wants us to put it all on the altar, to present it as reasonable that you realize the mercies of God in your life. Any questions before we... Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.
It's okay.
I just wanted to say that because some people have the sins they struggle with are more the obvious sins of the word.
Yes,
people
yes.
People are trying not to.
Right.
It's hard. Just give me a second. Let me have it back. It's hard to resist such temptations, especially if you have to live with a person or something like that.
Sure.
But all of us have areas that we haven't submitted to God or that we keep picking back up to that aren't quite so obvious.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, it's like pride. I have a big issue with pride. And, of course, when I've been humbled, because I've done a bunch of stuff, I'm super humbled. You know? But then when I'm doing better, it's interesting how Satan will come back and be like, all right, here we go, this will work now. And bring that pride back in. So we all have that thing. So it's not like, don't feel condemned if you slept with your boyfriend or... got drunk last week or whatever. Just realize that we all struggle like that, and if we want to be bright lights for Christ and really be reflecting Him, we want to give up every area in our lives like that, and we all struggle. And not any one of us is a perfect reflection of Christ,
yes.
But we want to be.
Yes, and we'll talk more about that next week. But one thing I do want to bring, and I know what your heart is, intent is, yeah, I think you should feel bad. If you are doing those things, yes, you should feel bad, but not to fall beyond His grace. You can turn around at any point. And next week, we're going to talk about how to do that. He's going to give us a positive and a negative, how not to conform to the pattern of this world. So we'll talk more about that next week.
That's all, Mike. Okay. So, no, you're correct. What I meant was not to feel like you are the lowest pond scum in this room.
Yes.
Because we all have our issues, and God's working with us on this issue. And He's not like, oh, well, Rebecca's pride isn't as bad as so-and-so sleeping with their boyfriend. Yeah. Oh, no, it is just as bad. So I just mean don't be condemned. That's what I meant. So you're right.
I tell you, I'm okay if you feel like pond scum in a sense, but just knowing that God's willing to reach and grab you. Paul said, I am the worst of sinners. Okay.
The point is not to feel condemned, but to feel convicted.
Yes, thank you. There you go. Three words. Jen will be teaching next week. All right, let's pray and let's thank the Lord. Father, I thank you for a good, fun time, Lord, with our brothers and sisters, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we would think about a view of your God's, of your mercies for us, Lord. Some of us shouldn't even be alive. We shouldn't even be here. We could so easily have gone down the wrong path in so many ways. Maybe some of us have, but you've rescued us, Lord. You've redeemed us. A view of all that you've done for us, Lord, even when we don't even realize it all. It's just reasonable that we should do that, Lord. But you also know that we're weak and we're frail. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, that if any of us are going the wrong direction or if there's an area in our life, we would remember that your calling and your gifts and your calling are without repentance, Lord God. They're irrevocable, and that all we have to do is turn around and turn back to you, just like Samson, just like Jonah, just like Peter. And Lord, you restore us, Lord. You're restoring God, Lord, a restoration God. And I pray that you would restore hearts today, Lord, that they would not be condemned, but be convicted and put their bodies, their fleshly appetites up on that altar, Lord, whatever that is for them, whatever that is for me, up on that altar and sacrifice it, Lord, to you, Lord God, to honor you, Lord. We love you and we bless you. We ask you to strengthen your people and encourage your people, and build up your people in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.